Welcome to episode 457 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about stuff, entertainment stuff. You know, entertainment stuff 2.0. I don't know. We're trying to figure this out, you know? And it's not just Microsoft. It's not just cord cutting. There's lots of interesting news out there. And we have a bunch of it for you in this episode.
Yeah. Consumer entertainment technology. That's where we're going here. But with a pretty big slant on the Microsoft stuff, if you've never listened to the show before. If you have, we're wondering why you haven't sent us any feedback in the last couple of weeks. We only got one piece of feedback.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. Was that
asking who's the Penguins fan?
Right. Yeah, we had a listener in Pittsburgh wondering which one of us was the Penguins fan.
And it's not me.
It's not Richard. He's not the sports guy. Although he sure was quick to jump on the Capitals bandwagon this spring.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I live kind of near here.
Right. So, no, it's me. I'm the Penguins fan, lifelong Penguins fan. I live about 3 hours from Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I'm closer to Detroit than Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's been my team forever. So, anyway, yeah, that was our one piece of feedback. I think it was Bob. I don't have the email up in front of me for sending that. And hopefully we'll get some more questions and feedback out of this episode. If you want to send us some via email, our address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. All right, Richard, just after we recorded last week.
Like hours? Not even.
It was hours, yeah. There were rumors that Microsoft was about to introduce something called Xbox All Access that would basically be a way to kind of finance the purchase of an Xbox and get some of their lovely gaming services tossed in. And then a few days later, it became a reality. It wasn't just a rumor. It was a real thing. Some people just got access to the news a little bit early. So it's called Xbox All Access. And it is a real thing. Here's how this works. You get an Xbox One console, either a 1S, 1 terabyte version, or a 1X, which only comes in 1 terabyte, plus Xbox Live Gold, plus Xbox Game Pass. Both of those are subscription services. You get them for 2 years, and you pay for this all monthly. There are no upfront costs. You just pay a single monthly fee for 24 months. That's 2 years. At the end of those 2 years, the console is yours to keep forever. Your subscriptions to Xbox Live Gold and Game Pass run out. You'll have to renew those on your own, I guess. But the pricing here is actually pretty interesting. So if you want the Xbox One S, that's going to set you back about $22 a month. It's $21.99. If you want the Xbox One X, it's $34.99 a month. If you do the math, these do actually save you a little bit of money. This is not just a flat, like, take the price of the console, take the cost of the two subscriptions, add them all up, divide by 24, there's your cost. Nope.
Which is kind of amazing for Microsoft, given their history.
For anybody. Like, I think this would still be a great deal, even if they just charged you all of, you know, the normal amount. And just build you, like, maybe it wouldn't be a great deal, but it would be a smart option for a lot of people.
It would be a great deal because you're not paying any finance fees. And if you were to buy this with a credit card, which, let's face it, is how most people are buying these things, You are financing it at what, 18%?
Right, or more. Yeah. So, plus sales tax. You know, you buy a $500 Xbox One X, there's going to be a pretty hefty chunk of sales tax. And I don't know if you actually pay sales tax on this.
I didn't even think of that. I wonder if they have to accommodate for that some way. That's interesting.
If they are, then you're still getting a deal because...
Right.
They say no upfront cost, and these are the monthly cost. So you're basically saving on it in some way. It seems. So if you do the math, let's start with the Xbox One X, because that's the one that everybody's going to want anyway, right? And that's the one that people are going to have a harder time paying for upfront because it's $500. So if you do all the math for that, you end up saving about $20, which it's not a ton, but hey, it's something. The crazy numbers, and I had done the Xbox One X numbers a couple of days ago and was like, oh yeah, $20, that's cool. I wonder how much you save with the One S. You save $130.
Did you double check your math on that? Because that's crazy.
I like quadruple checked on that. Because I saw the number and I'm like, no. I must have grabbed the wrong cell in Excel or something. No, I'm pretty sure that's right, because the One S is $300 for the 1 terabyte model. And then you're looking at $240 for Xbox Game Pass and $120 for Xbox Live Gold. So do all that math. And yeah, it looks like you're saving about $130, which is crazy. Now,
yeah.
I think a lot of people, most reasonable people, are going to say, yeah, but that's regular prices. No one actually pays regular prices for all of these things. Well, for the Xbox One X, you typically do. They've barely put that on sale. Now, if you're really good at deal hunting and stuff, there are ways to get it for cheaper. There are those crazy days where eBay's like, get 25% off your eBay order. And, you end up with a $300 Xbox One X or something like that. But most people aren't finding those deals. You can easily get Xbox Live Gold for $40 to $45 a year instead of $60. But Xbox Game Pass, I haven't really seen any great ways of getting a discount on that, with the exception of going the whole Microsoft Rewards route, where you're using Bing like crazy and building up the Microsoft Reward points to pay for your Xbox Game Pass subscription, which is what my co-host Joe on Story Players does. He's never paid for Xbox Game Pass.
How? I can barely keep it up for an occasional $5 Amazon pass, but I guess I'm a Google guy. So.
Well, he's just, and so is he. He has his morning routine, and it involves looking at all the Bing news stories and stuff. And there you go. It's enough. It works.
Wow.
So there are ways. They're just a little bit more difficult. So I think this is cool. I think that this makes a lot of sense for some people. Now, you do have to think about the fact that this is a 2-year commitment. And will you still want this console in 2 years? When is the next Xbox coming out? We don't actually know, because of course they haven't announced that yet. But so far, all of the rumors are suggesting that the next Xbox will probably come out in 2020. There's a possibility that it's next year, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's
and
probably
if it
more
is,
like 2020.
It's holiday season next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So if you were to jump on this deal right now, then you're probably set until the next Xbox comes out. So that's really not a bad way of doing this. There is one major kicker here. You can only do this at the Microsoft store, the physical ones. You can't even do this online. You have to walk into a Microsoft store, assuming you have one anywhere near you. And then in there, you will actually apply for financing through Dell. I'm not really sure how that arrangement all worked out, but through Dell. And then if you're approved, because it's a credit offer, if you're approved, then you get to walk out with an Xbox and a couple of subscription cards, I guess. So, the website, the Microsoft Store, calls this limited time and all this stuff. What I wonder is, when they say limited time, are they talking about the offer in general, or do they mean the fact that it's only available in stores? Mm-hmm. Could the limited time thing mean it's coming online soon-ish? That'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. This is such a weird thing anyway. I don't know what to make of this.
Because I don't live in the middle of the woods. I'm not in the middle of nowhere. And the closest Microsoft store to me is an hour and a half drive.
Yeah, it's about an hour for me.
Yeah. So Joe, again, to bring him up again, he was really interested in doing this to get an Xbox One X. But he's like, I don't want to drive an hour and a half away just to get this thing. I have no reason to go up that far. So I don't know. That's still a problem, because Microsoft stores still aren't ubiquitous by any stretch of the imagination.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking clearly you guys don't commute in a metropolitan area. I'm
like, no.
An hour and a half, what's that? That's like 15 minutes more than an average commute.
Well, we're not on the East Coast, so, or in LA. Yeah. So, yeah, my drive is 20 minutes.
Nice.
And that's because it doubled when I changed jobs. Yeah. So that's Xbox All Access. I would love to hear what our listeners think of this offering, and if any of them plan on jumping in on this deal. And if so, you're going to go for the big money savings on the 1S, or are you going to go for all of the horsepower of the 1X?
Cool.
All right, let's move on to some video news. This first one, it's another deal sort of story. And this is kind of surprising that we're even talking about this.
Yeah, because for what it's worth, we never would have covered this, say, a month ago.
Right, up until a month ago, right? So Microsoft, of all people, are having a big sale on movies and TV for Labor Day weekend. Seems like a good reason to have a sale on movies and TV show, I suppose. And now it actually makes sense to buy content from Microsoft because, like we referenced just a little bit ago, about a month ago, Microsoft joined Movies Anywhere. So most of, probably not all, but most of the purchases that you would make here will filter right into your Movies Anywhere plan, and you'll be able to watch them on all sorts of other devices and through all sorts of other services.
Yeah, very cool. And you give two examples here where Dunkirk and Mad Max Fury Road are basically $20 a piece for UHD versions of this that will translate to your other platforms, which is a great price if you're really just looking for digital copies and you're not wanting to go out and buy physical Blu-ray UHD discs anymore. And Dunkirk, man, I know I've said this before, get that movie, watch that movie. I think I've seen it 4 or 5 times now. I still can't watch the final scenes without crying.
Oh, man. That's a pretty rave review.
It is amazing. It's a wonderful, powerful, devastating film. It is fantastic.
And so maybe $20 for a couple of movies in UHD doesn't jump out at you. There's a lot of other deals here and much bigger discounts on 1080p versions of a lot of these movies if you're not looking for the UHD version. So might as well go and check that out and load up your Movies Anywhere collection with some more deals from Microsoft.
Cool, cool. And here's where we veer from Microsoft for the first time in this episode. We have some HDR 10 plus support, and we need like a, I don't know, a stinger for me saying,
you know, it's been a while since we've talked about HDR and the various standards
formats
and all that stuff. Right. And HDR 10 plus, I don't think we've ever spoken of positively, because when Samsung first announced it, it felt like they just didn't want to play ball with anybody else. They didn't want to pay Dolby to license Dolby Vision and figured, we can mostly do what Dolby Vision is doing and we'll be nicer to everybody else. We'll make it cheaper for them from them to license it from us. And you and I collectively rolled our eyes and sighed and thought, this is dumb. No one's going to adopt this. We don't need yet another format. But it does look like it's starting to pick up a little bit of steam. It's not just Samsung anymore. Panasonic TVs and Ultra HD Blu-ray players are starting to support it. In fact, select 2018 models from both Samsung and Panasonic of TVs and Blu-ray players now are supporting HDR 10 plus via firmware updates. And it seems reasonable to assume that going forward, most, if not all of the two companies' 4K TVs would also have HDR 10 plus support built in. And that's good news. Now, of course, the other question is, okay, what am I going to watch that's in HDR 10 plus? Well, if you're into streaming, apparently all of Amazon Prime originals, all of theirs that are in HDR are available in HDR 10 plus. So that's cool. And Fox and Warner have signed on to potentially someday release movies with HDR 10 plus.
Yeah. I remember they were potentially someday going to come out with HD DVDs too.
Oh man, that still burns, doesn't it?
Well, not Fox, but yeah, you know, this still bugs me. I mean, it's good that it's getting more adoption, but we just don't seem to learn these lessons over and over and over again. And to some extent, and I know that they have intellectual property that they need to A, protect and B, monetize, but I blame Dolby for this, because if their royalties for using Dolby Vision are so extreme that it doesn't make sense for, no, let's even say that a different way, that it's more economical for other parties to come up with their own standard than to use Dolby's, then that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a really good way of looking at this issue. And I am starting to get a little bit torn on this. I'm not as mad at Samsung as I used to be about this. Now that I've learned that HDR 10 Plus, I mean, we've always known that they follow a similar model in how they're implementing their format Dolby Vision.
Oh, yeah. And for all intents and purposes, they are a superior format.
Well, they're superior to HDR 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's metadata on like a per frame basis of the movie,
but
instead of
kind
of the whole movie,
blending the best of both, from what I understand,
well,
right?
Yeah, like it doesn't do everything that Dolby Vision does. Like Dolby Vision has a much higher peak brightness that it goes up to 10,000 nits, which is a great thing to put on the back of a box. But there aren't any TVs that get anywhere close to that bright, so
also,
it doesn't really matter right now.
Ouch.
Right. Talk about burning your retinas. Yeah.
I mean, I really want to be able to see everything else in the room. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You'll be able to see everything else in the room and the neighborhood. Like Batman will show up at your house with that spotlight of a TV.
No, but that's the thing about this, right? Like HDR done wrong. HDR done with too much contrast, too much brightness, actually kind of reinforces the whole reason that HDR in photography was created, which is to help your eyes see the details in the very different brightnesses that exist.
Right.
And if in fact something is so bright, then your eyes don't have the ability to see that detail.
Right. It's hard to see detail when you're squinting.
Right.
So maybe Dolby Vision doesn't have exactly what we need, because maybe it's a little too far. But yeah, I'm kind of liking this a little bit more because it's cheaper. It gives us a lot of the technology that we want. But I don't think my 2016 Vizio 4K HDR set is going to get HDR 10 plus support.
I'm not entirely sure about that. I mean, Vizio is pretty good about bringing in older technologies with updates, aren't they?
They've been decent, but I'm not sure about this one. Maybe I should actually go and check, or maybe I shouldn't, because there still isn't anything that I really care about here, right? I mean, maybe the Amazon originals would look better, but there's that Jack Ryan show is about to start.
I know. I'm really excited about that.
Maybe
actually.
I should go and check this out.
I think two Jack Ryan movies to catch up on too.
Mm, yeah. All right. So that's our HDR 10 plus news. And then one more sort of odd story, at least for us, is Sony. Well, it's not really Sony that's putting this out. A third party company called PDP has released a new remote control for the Sony PlayStation 4. And they're calling this the Cloud Remote, which is a really, really, really stupid name. But wait until you hear their description and it'll it'll be even dumber. So this remote, it's kind of a universal remote in that it doesn't just control your PlayStation 4. It'll also control your TV and stuff like that. Here's the description. This is a direct quote from their description. They have an app that uses advanced cloud technology to auto-detect the devices connected to your PlayStation 4 for hassle-free remote programming. Advanced cloud technology, Richard. I don't know what that means.
How the bleep is the cloud detecting your connected devices? How?
I don't know, but I'm kind of curious about this remote now. It looks nice. It does. Looks like a good solution for things. Like it physically is designed nicely. It has all the buttons you want, plus some that I didn't expect to see. I mean, you've got, of course, your D-pad and all of the circle, triangle, square, X buttons. You've got the play and pause and skip and rewind buttons and all that stuff. But it also has volume, power, and input buttons for switching inputs on your TV and maybe even your receiver. So that's all pretty awesome. And if it can actually figure out most of that for you using advanced cloud technology, then maybe I'll stop making fun of it.
I don't know. It seems to warrant some making fun. But the the cool thing there, and you kind of glossed over this, is power, right? Like if you have a universal remote, that thing is not turning on your PS4.
No. In fact, even the Logitech Harmony can't turn on a PS4. The only thing that can turn on a PS4 is a PS4 controller. That's it.
Until now.
So I've got, well, and they have a previous version that the same company made that does turn on the PS4. But other than that, you know, you're paying hundreds of dollars potentially for a Logitech Harmony that can't turn on a PlayStation 4 because Sony's jerks about how this is all implemented, basically. So I've got a Harmony and I have to use my PS4's controller to turn it on and then use my Harmony to switch everything else over. And it's really just kind of dumb. So the other nice thing about this, it's only $30. That's pretty cheap for a nice remote that could potentially control lots of things. So $30 available very soon on Amazon. And in fact, it's September 18th. And if you buy it, they'll also throw in a 30-day free trial of PlayStation View, which is Sony's online streaming, like cable TV type service, you know, comparable to YouTube TV and Sling TV and HD Home Run Premium.
Which would cost roughly about like $30-some?
No, I think it's like $60.
Oh, hey, that's a pretty good deal then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's only a month, but that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Good way to check out their service. All right. Well, now on to some gaming news. And since we already talked about the Xbox All Access thing, all of our gaming news is deals and free stuff.
Which is good, right? That's good.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's more interesting to me because it's stuff that I'll probably get and never use.
Right. So we'll fly through this as quickly as possible. On the deals side, on the Xbox side, so the deals with Gold and Spotlight sale, two call-outs here, Final Fantasy 15 Royals Edition. And this, like, if you haven't played Final Fantasy 15 at all and you would like to check it out, this is the one that you should buy because it's the base game plus the season pass, which is $25 on its own, plus all of the stuff that they added into the Royal Edition, which is just more content and new vehicles and some other random stuff. And it's $20. Like, just the Royal Edition add-on for the regular version of the game is $15, and the Season Pass, like I said, is $25. So this is a really, really great deal. Like, I've been waiting for the Season Pass to go on sale. I've given a little bit of thought to just buying this whole version because it's cheaper than the Season Pass, and I get all the content and more that I want, but I'm probably not going to do it. The other game worth pointing out, Monster Hunter World, is $36, which is more expensive than most games that I would normally point out. But this game has gotten a lot of love from a lot of people out there. It came out earlier this year. And I mean, it's not really my thing, but it is incredibly popular. So nice to see a decent deal on that. Also, if you're on the PlayStation side of things, it's on sale over there. PlayStation has weekly sales too. And it's Monster Hunter World is $36 on PlayStation if you are a PS Plus subscriber. And one other game I wanted to point out over there, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, at the cheapest price I've seen it yet. It is down to $18. It's regularly $30. So this is a pretty nice break on a game that I loved, absolutely loved this game. We played it for story players. If you're not quite sure what it is, go and download our episode of Story Players that covered this, because we spend the first 5 or 10 minutes of all of our shows discussing what the game is and what you want to know before you play it, all spoiler free for the first few minutes, and then tell you when, all right, it's time that we're going to spoil everything. If you haven't played yet, go play and come back and listen to the episode. So if you want to hear more about Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, that is the way to hear more about that. All right, let's move on to all the free games. So Microsoft is a little bit more punctual with announcing their free monthly games. So we're going to quick recap the games that are still available as part of the August Games with Gold, and then get into your September Games with Gold. You've got a couple days left.
What, a day? Two, maybe?
Yeah, like 2 days. If you're listening on the day that we release this, you have less than 2 days to get this next deal, and that is Forza Horizon 2 on Xbox One. Absolutely get that. You just need to. August 16th through September 15th on Xbox One is For Honor. And then, again, only 2 days left on the 360 game, Epic Mickey 2. Again, backwards compatible on the Xbox One. The new games for September. All month long, your Xbox One game is Prison Architect. It's basically what it sounds like. It is, you're the warden, and you get to design how a maximum security prison is laid out and works and is scheduled, and all of, you know, handling riots and all of that stuff. It sounds kind of neat if you're into simulator type games. September 16th through October 15th, a game that I've never heard of. It's called Live Lock. It is a 3-player co-op twin stick shooter. It looks kind of fun. Like I'll probably check this out since it's free and I like co-op games to play with my friends. So I'll be grabbing that one.
So many adjectives there.
But if you're a gamer, you know what they all mean. So your 360 games for the first half of September are Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars.
See, that I know what it is. Star Wars.
Right. And Lego, right?
Right.
That's all you need to know. It's another Lego game for free. That's like an instant download. And then for the second half of the month, part of the Sega Vintage Collection, this one is Monster World. This is 3 of the classic Monster World games. I'm not very familiar with a lot of Sega classics. Just by looking at the screenshots, it looked like maybe one of them is old enough to be a Sega Master System game, and maybe a couple of Sega Genesis games. Not sure, but they're classic role-playing games.
Not surprising, right? This is part of the arcade collection.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then real quick recap on those free PlayStation games.
Oh, good grief.
Mafia 3 on PlayStation 4, Dead by Daylight, Bound by Flame, and Serious Sam 3 BFE on PS3. Forget Vita, forget PlayStation VR. But maybe another one to point out again is that Knowledge is Power trivia game that you have until November 6th for some reason as a free PlayStation 4 game. And we don't know what the September games are because Sony announces their games on the last Wednesday of the month, which is a day after we're recording this episode and a day before you're hearing it. So not fair. You know what they are before we do.
Are you going to start bugging me with Nintendo Switch deals soon? Because I might have to object loudly.
I'm trying to make them shorter. And at least on Nintendo Switch, there aren't free games. I can't believe I just said that as like a good thing. But in terms of things for us to cover, it's kind of a good thing, right? I am trying to pare down the deals to point out. So I only had 3 total games there. So,
all right. Well, we're going to wrap things up with our weekly Plex news. And this is at the end because this isn't specific to any particular kind of media. This is about all media. Plex, as you know, is a central place for managing your media collection and viewing it on multiple devices across platforms. And recently, they put an update out that kind of reminded people that they've been working on a bunch of updates to make it easier for you to customize your Plex experience. Some of these features are new. Some of them have been out for a little while. So I'm going to summarize these really quickly. You now have the ability to customize your homepage content and organization. We talked about this in a past episode, actually. And this is on both Android and iOS mobile apps. And they are working to bring this to other platforms. You don't yet have the ability to do this on, say, your TV interface or your web interface, but that's something that they are working on. So that's a cool thing. You also have the ability to customize the media type navigation. Now, what is that? Well, that's like if you have a mobile app, it's that bar at the bottom, the tab bar, that includes video and audio and podcasts and TV shows. You can decide what shows up there on your mobile app. And you can also show the things that you want to see on your Xbox and on the Plex media player. So they're expanding that so that you can customize that overall highest level navigation that you have. And I know you've all heard me complain about the high level navigation on Xbox. I'm still going to complain about it, even if I can customize it. But it's nice that you can customize it. And speaking of customizing it, the sources that you have available to you for each of those media types can also be customized on Xbox, mobile, Plex Media Player, and newer TV apps. So the apps that have that newer interface like we're seeing on the Xbox. You know, I'm not a fan of it, but it does give you access to all those different sources much more easily than in the past. And that's something that's great about it. And I have to say, I don't know if you've noticed this, Josh, but I now am more easily and readily finding content from the people that I share content with than I have in the past because of the way they've made source switching so much easier now.
Oh, yeah. It is way, way easier.
So these are great updates. And there's a post that they put out on their support site that we'll have a link to in the show notes that kind of summarizes all these different things and step by step how you can make the changes that are necessary to include these customizations on your Plex implementation. So give that a look if you're interested. All right. Well, that is it for our news. So let's talk a little bit about what is going on in our respective entertainment centers. Not as much as normal for me, not a whole lot in comparison. So first off, let's talk about Plex, because one of the things that I wanted to do in Plex was try the Plex podcast player. We recently talked about how they support OPML import, and I thought, that's great. I love that. And I went to the support site, and it said on the web, you can add a podcast, and then it'll ask you if you want to import OPML, but that doesn't work. Now, Josh, you pointed out to me as we were talking this week that you can import the OPML file on your mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you showed me it on your Android device. I confirmed that that also works on iOS. But like, my brain can't even wrap itself around getting an OPML file on my iOS device. Like, I have to really think about that. Because that's not how you think about your phone typically, right? Oh,
right.
I'll get an exported file and I'll import that in. What? That's crazy.
You mean you don't just have a bunch of XML files laying around on your iPhone?
Generally not so much, no. So I'm hoping that they do get this OPML import working on the web like they say that it should work, because I want to give this a try. I am seriously considering changing what I use as my primary source for podcasts, or at least testing it out. But you're right. I'm not going to do it if I have to manually add the 20 to 30 podcasts that I listen to every week.
No, there's no chance of that happening.
Yeah, it's just a pain. So hopefully they'll get this working. All right, in terms of stuff that I have been watching, Big Brother, Game of Thrones, last week tonight, I mentioned previously that I am using the TV Time app. If you're interested in following me there, I am R. Gunther. Let me know that you want to follow, because the account is closed, but I will let you in if you're interested in lurking and seeing the crazy crap that I watch. This weekend, I watched Deadpool 2. Have you seen this?
And?
Have you seen this?
I haven't seen either of the Deadpool movies yet.
I don't think you're going to like it.
Because it's so funny.
It is friggin' hysterical. I laughed so hard.
I don't hate comedies.
Oh, and, man.
Like, but this is a movie that is supposed to be a really funny action movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Marvel movies aren't necessarily... Like, I don't go into a Marvel movie thinking, this is a comedy with some action. Deadpool, that is kind of what I would be going into it thinking. It's about expectations.
It is hysterical. It is so funny. And the first movie did a wonderful job of occasionally breaking the fourth wall. This just tears it down. There are no set walls anywhere. You and the cast are a part of the same discussion. At one point in time, he signs some character who doesn't even want his autograph, but he signed something that they're holding with his picture on it. Ryan Reynolds. It is friggin' hysterical. They did such a good job. I love this movie. Man, I hope they're doing more, because it was awesome. And then finally, I want to talk about podcasts that I've been listening to. One new one is a show called Your Online Coffee Break. I talked a couple weeks ago about how when I was down at Kennedy Space Center for the NASA social event, I met all these amazing people. And not surprisingly, several of them had podcasts of their own. And one of them is a really, really interesting show with incredible guests by this guy, Chuck, who used to be kind of in the radio space, and he's retired, and he has a podcast now, and he is connected. When NASA launched the space probe that went toward the sun a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
he had the NASA retired scientist that probe was named after on his show.
Wow.
So this is just a wonderful podcast that I'm thoroughly enjoying. It comes out twice a week. He has great guests on, and he talks about all kinds of stuff. Technology, social issues, stuff that's going on in the career space. It's just it's a really good 20 to 25 minute show, and I thoroughly recommend it. It's called Your Online Coffee Break, available in all the places. And then one that I'm probably removing from my lineup, and I'm so sad to say this, you and I both listen to Cord Killers, and we have varying degrees of excitement about it as time goes on. But I also listen to Spoilering Time, Spoiler In Time. There's no G in there.
No.
And one of the things that I love about that is that they get me to watch things that I normally wouldn't watch on my own. Like Deadwood. I'm really enjoying watching Deadwood. And it got me
because you obviously need more things to watch.
I know. But it also got me to watch Firefly. And I can't think of the other show that the guy from Deadwood was in. But I've enjoyed everything that I've watched that they've recommended as a catalog title. So now they're starting to go over the new season of Better Call Saul. And they're doing the same crap that they did with Westworld season 1, where not even one show has been on. It's just one episode is out, and they are already speculating about what the big twist is going to be and how this season is going to progress. I'm cool with you spoiling me about stuff that I just watched, but don't spoil everything ahead. That just sucks. Like, why would you want
actually
that?
Actually spoiling it.
Well, they're not spoiling it, but, you know, it's like sitting next to someone while you're watching a movie with a big twist, and halfway through they're like, oh my God, I know what's going to happen. He's going to do blah, blah, blah. I mean, you don't want that. Like, why do you want that? It does indeed spoil it. So I'm really frustrated by this. I love that it's a spoiler show and that you only want to listen to the things that you've already watched, but I don't want to be spoiled about speculation about what's going on that I haven't thought about myself. So I'm sadly going to drop this part of it and probably going to switch feeds so I only get the main show.
Hmm. I think that's probably more of a you thing. I think a lot of people really like that aspect of these types of shows, to really think about theories that they haven't figured out for themselves and to analyze it from different perspectives and stuff. But the problem is that people of the internet have gotten really good at figuring out what those things are going to be.
Yeah. 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 And I don't want to speculate about that. Like I would rather, like, if it might be one thing if you and I just casually discussed, oh, you know, maybe this is what's going on. Yeah, that'd be really cool. But I don't want to hear that a corpus of people out there in the world have decided this is probably where it's going, because that is spoiling it. And I think that's different. That's less fun to me. Maybe it is a me thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. No,
I get it. I get where you're coming from there. I just think that you're probably on the losing side of that argument.
Yeah. Well, it's an easy problem to fix. I just say bye.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. So that is what's going on in my entertainment world. What is going on with you?
Well, I have not watched any movies. I've not watched any TV. Sports is coming back soon. College football starts up this coming weekend, so I'll have a little bit of that on my TV, I'm sure. But other than that, I don't know, I guess hopefully that Jack Ryan movie or TV show that we were talking about there, maybe I'll get some time to watch that on Amazon.
Yeah, but that is by the time this airs, that should be available.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date. I just remember it being right at the end of August. So it's any day now. So for gaming, I finished up The Walking Dead, the game, season 4. This is the brand new one, episode 1. So we've played through that. Joe and I have both played through that. And just last night, we got together to record what is going to be the very next episode of Story Players. The
awesome.
First episode of our third season of our video game, story-driven video game analysis podcast here at the DMZ. So we're going to be covering that. We're going to be covering Life is Strange and some other stuff. So a lot of episodic games to cover the season. It was a fun episode to record, and I can't wait to share that all with you guys in just a couple of days. That'll be in your feeds. So make sure you're subscribed to check that out.
That's very cool. Please tell me it's not a 3.5-hour episode.
No. It should be a normal-ish length episode for us.
All right. Good.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen again. I kind of hope not. Although I still think that the episode you're referring to is when we played Detroit Become Human. That it's still my favorite episode of the show. That game was just so good. Gosh, it was so good.
I think just came in just under 200 minutes on that one.
Wow. Yeah, it was long. And holy crap, did it take a long time to edit. Yeah. So other game that I've been playing, I had mentioned a few weeks ago that I picked up Nier Automata, or however it's pronounced. I'm back to trying to work my way through that since I'm done with The Walking Dead for a little while. And that's a cool game. It's weird. It gets really, really weird. As a lot of these Japanese developed games tend to do, it just gets weird. But it's fun, it's cool, it's different. It's not exactly what I expected, but it's still good in a lot of ways. And Well, it was on sale last week, so you missed out if you were interested. So check that out. It's available on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So yeah, if you're looking for a third-person action game, Nier Automata. And Nier is spelled N-I-E-R, if you want to check that one out.
Cool.
So that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. But Richard, you're about to bail from your house to go check out a whole bunch of cool technology.
I am. I'm not going to be here next week. I am going to be in San Diego, and I will be in San Diego for the CD Expo. I love this show. This is so much fun. I get to, this is like a, it's like a homecoming for me. You know how you and I and Chris go to CES every year, and we have a great time, and we see all this amazing stuff, and we see some vendors that we've, that we know. But CEDIA, for me, this is the show where I know so many people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I reconnect with so many people. I love the experience. I have the whole week booked already. I'm so excited. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing is recording Home On live, in air quotes, in the Z-Wave Alliance booth. Now, what I mean by the air quotes is that I am going to be recording an episode of Home On while in, while on the floor in the Z-Wave Alliance booth. And it's likely going to be edited, but the content is going to be kind of in succession as we record it on the floor. Now, I'll be able to take those air quotes off if sometime between now and then, Josh and I, well, not really Josh and I, Josh can show me how to do this live stuff, because I've never done actual live. So if we can get that figured out between now and then that live will actually include a video feed, maybe just an audio feed, maybe just audio through Mixer, so that we'll be able to share that live recording experience with anybody who's available to listen. So that is going to be at 11 Pacific Daylight Time on Friday the 7th. And we will provide more information to you both on the site and through Twitter as we get closer.
Yeah. And I think we're going to be able to make this happen. Like, I'm not worried about us being able to figure this out. What I'm worried about is Wi-Fi. How good is your internet connection?
Oh, yeah. No,
be?
I totally. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be the biggest reason to keep that word live in quotes. But yeah, it'll be right here at the digitalmediazone.com/live, assuming the internet holds up.
Parens, right. Richard's first time trying to do live.
Right.
And parens.
It's okay. I'm here for you. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week. If you want to get a hold of us, our favorite way of chatting with you all is through Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is just at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Facebook. We've got that email address and the contact form. All of that stuff is up on the website, thedigitalmediazone.com, where you can also go to find all of our subscription links, because we're in Apple Podcast, we're on Pocket Cast, Stitcher, we're basically everywhere you can find podcasts. So make sure you subscribe
and
be able to get every single episode.
I just confirmed we're now on Google Podcasts, and we weren't when it initially launched.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
Crazy Google, constantly messing crazy with Google. Their podcast stuff. We've also mentioned our other two shows. You should check those out. Richard's other show is Home On. Covering the latest home automation stuff. You've got a new episode that just came out last week, right?
I did. I had such a fun conversation with Brad McAndrews from Universal Devices. That is what's out there now. And we talked about the ISY devices, the Insteon controllers and Z-Wave controllers that are kind of a central control to be redundant point in your home. And these are devices that I haven't really thought about all that seriously before, but I don't know why, because these are two ecosystems that I really want to blend. They're right. Sending me a review unit.
Oh, nice.
So I will be testing this out and talking about it more. But if you're interested, make sure you listen to this episode. I think it was a lot of fun. We've gotten some great feedback on it. Oh, and by the way, quite coincidentally, truly coincidentally, Insteon was our sponsor for this episode. And if before the 30th, which is probably the day you're listening to this, if you're listening on the first day, if by the 30th you're listening, we have a special landing page and coupon code where you can get a 15% discount on all Insteon stuff. Listen to the episode. It's in there. It's also on our show notes for a shortcut and hint. But check that out, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, I also just recorded an episode with the founder and CTO of LifeX. He's in Australia. And we had an interesting time trying to coordinate that recording session.
Since one of you needed to record at like 3 o'clock in the morning to make that work.
It wasn't quite that bad, but yeah, it took some it took some time math, and I'm not good at time math. So we had a really good discussion. He's such a bright guy, such a fun guy. And I have a couple of their products, but I don't use them regularly. But I know that a lot of people do. And I think it's going to be a great episode. I'm looking forward to getting that out before we are at Cedia. And then, of course, we'll have our live show.
Nice. And like I just mentioned a few minutes ago, next episode of Story Players, it's been a couple of months or so, maybe not quite 2 months, but next episode of Story Players hitting any day now with the latest The Walking Dead game recap. So check that out too. And then come back here Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Richard's going to be trying to figure out how to do a live podcast at Cedia. Here at Entertainment 2.0, we've got this thing nailed.
Oh.
Come and join us Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, usually. Maybe the only thing we don't have nailed is the schedule. That can kind of get weird sometimes. So follow us on Twitter. We always tweet when the show will be happening. But that's going to do it for episode 457. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.